This is the first time in history of an army had ever attempted to comprehensively go about fighting a war on the one hand and yet trying to save and preserve cultural treasures for future generations.
That's Robert Edsel, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Robert M. Edsel is the author of three books about the Monuments Men, including the number one New York Times bestseller, The Monuments Men, which was adapted into a feature film in 2014. In 2007, he founded the Monuments Men Foundation for the Preservation of Art and received a National Humanities Medal, the United States' highest honor for work in the humanities. He joins us to talk about his latest book, The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History, The Story of the Monuments Men. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
For those who might not be familiar with the Monuments Men, tell us about them.
These were a group of museum directors, curators, art historians, architects. In fact, some were artists themselves who had life made as we know it. They were accomplished in their careers, middle age. The average age was about 40 or so. Many had families. Some had kids. And they were never going to be drafted, and yet they volunteered for service to put on a military uniform and go into harm's way. Two of the Monuments officers were actually killed in combat, which I chronicle in the story, to save the cultural treasures, works of art, paintings, drawings, tapestries, church bells, libraries, everything that had value in defining who we are as a civilization from the destruction of war and theft by the Nazis.
Now, you say they volunteered, but how did the idea for this group come about?
There was a man named George Stout who was old enough to have fought in the last year of World War I. And Stout was a conservator of works of art at Harvard, at the Fogg Museum. And he was convinced that there was going to be a Second World War. He watched with great horror the technological developments of aerial bombing in the Spanish Civil War in the mid-1930s. And the devastating fires they caused, and realized the threat to museums and other treasures, and developed pamphlets about how to protect works of art during times of war, so that when the sneak attack by Japan at Pearl Harbor in December 7, 1941 took place, Stout swung into action immediately with his idea of creating, he referred to them as cultural preservation officers, that would be well equipped by the Army to be embedded with troops and try and effect temporary repairs on things that were damaged but could be fixed, oftentimes damaged by Allied bombing or Allied artillery. Of course, while the Army embraced the idea, they never provided any of the resources he envisioned, and these men were really left on their own to figure it out.
So tell us about some of the priceless works of art that the Monuments Men were able to save during World War II.
I think this is one of the exciting aspects of the story. Listeners sometimes aren't particularly attracted to museums. They may have, everybody's been to a museum one time. Some enjoy returning, some don't. But I think everybody knows who Michelangelo is. They know about the David. They know about Leonardo da Vinci and his great painting on the wall in Milan, The Last Supper. They know about artists like Rembrandt and Vermeer. And these works and millions more like them by the most revered and well-liked artists in history were not only at risk of destruction, but were actually stolen by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis during the war, which set off, as I refer to it in the title of my new book, The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History, with these men and women trying to track down and recover these works of art. And they did a remarkable job. By the time they came home in 1951, they'd located and returned some 4 million stolen objects. It's an astonishing sum.
And yet I'm sure there were many, many works of art that they were not able to save.
Well, there were hundreds of thousands of works of art that went missing at the end of the war that still haven't been recovered. The Monuments Men Foundation, which I am founded and the chairman of, which has been in existence for the last 10 years or so, to not only honor these men and women's legacy, but also to put that legacy to use in completing their mission. And we've found and returned some 30 priceless rare books, documents, paintings, tapestry, and other religious objects that were sent home sometimes by soldiers who thought they were just souvenirs, not understanding their value. Of course, many hundreds of thousands of things went back to the Soviet Union, taken by Red Army troops. Really, these things just were dispersed all over Europe and into other countries like the United States that these soldiers came from, oftentimes, again, innocently taking as souvenirs. And so as we have more of the World War II generation passing and their kids, older adults, inheriting objects and going through safety deposit boxes and looking in attics, these things are oftentimes discovered, and the foundation receives tips through our toll-free tip line, 1-866-WORLD-WAR-2-ART, or people contact us on our website, monumentsmenfoundation.org, with things that they have come across that they're not sure what they are, and we try and do our best to help everyone that contacts us.
I'm talking with Robert Edsel. His new book is The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History. And we've been talking about the Monuments Men Foundation. And I understand recently you made an announcement that was connected somehow with the National World War II Museum in New Orleans.
Well, we did. We've had a close relationship with the World War II Museum for years. In fact, they will break ground later this year on their Liberation Pavilion, which will house a permanent exhibition for the Monuments Men. And we're really excited about that. We're going to recreate a salt mine for visitors to walk through and get some sense of the excitement and the terror that these men experienced, not knowing what they were going to find when they went into these hiding places where the Nazis had hidden works of art, whether they were going to be booby-trapped or the works of art might be destroyed. But we also recently have announced that the foundation is placing its archives and artifacts with the museum permanently. That'll be the home of these things. We've had so many thousands of documents and personal items that these monuments officers had, including maps and photographs. And we just wanted to make sure that they were at a permanent location that could properly take care of them for the decades to come and make them more accessible to visitors and scholars alike. So the foundation continues with its work. We speak about the Monuments Men all the time at schools and libraries, community centers. We also are involved, as I mentioned earlier, with the recovery and return of missing works of art. But this has been an important alliance of ours with the National World War II Museum, and we're very excited about furthering it.
Well, let's talk more about this latest book, The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History, The Story of the Monuments Men. And this book brings the story of the Monuments Men to a younger audience. How does this book differ from other books that you've written about their work?
This book is a really, really significant departure from what I've done before, because not only does it target a young adult reading audience, it's the first time I've been able to tell the whole story in one book. So my first book was a photographic telling of what the Monuments Men and Women did. And my second book was a story of the Monuments Men's work in Northern Europe, which George Clooney made the film on, The Monuments Men, based on that book. And my third book was about what the Monuments officers did in saving Italy, entitled Saving Italy, and their work tracking down 1,000 of the most important paintings by Leonardo and Michelangelo and other sculpture that were taken by the Nazis and used in this daring gambit at the end of the war to negotiate a settlement or surrender of German forces in Italy, the very first major surrender of German forces during World War II. And the works of art were part of this negotiation. So the new book, The Greatest Treasure in History, is an opportunity for me to combine their stories and allow readers to read the entire story written from the perspective as if you were sitting on the shoulder of the Monuments Men. You don't know any more than what they know. You're finding these pieces of information and clues as they find them, trying to piece them together as they were, and alongside as they experience the effort to try and locate where these works of art are and hunting down the leads, ultimately taking them into salt mines and caves and castles where tens of thousands of works of art were discovered. And it's a chance to really get a sense of what they experienced.
What do you think in particular it's so important for younger readers to learn about the Monuments Men?
This is the first time in history an army had ever attempted to comprehensively go about fighting a war on the one hand and yet trying to save and preserve cultural treasures for future generations. All these things that we either have had a chance to visit or we've seen in books and someday hope to see personally, survive not by accident, but because people in centuries past felt they were important signposts about the development of civilization and wanted to go out of their way to make sure that they survived for future generations to see. So if they're going to survive in the future, whether the threat of war, budget cuts, carbon monoxide, the corrosive effect that has on sculpture, limestone in particular, flooding, tornadoes, theft, they're constantly under attack. The future of those things surviving rests with our youth. They're going to be the ones making the decisions that affect the development of the world. They're going to be the ones charged with taking care of these things if they want to have a chance to see them and their kids. And I think the inspiring aspect of the Monuments Men story is that a handful of men and women who were not combat soldiers, they were average people, librarians, teachers, scholars, and so on. The fact that they were able to take action and inspire the military and the President of the United States, President Roosevelt and General Eisenhower, to get behind this because it was the right policy, I think is an inspiration for all of us today. And it's very inspiring, in particular being Americans, to realize that the United States set the standard for the protection of cultural treasures during the most destructive conflict in history, 65 million people killed. My view is surely today, with the tools of technology that we have and that our youth are going to be masters of, we can do a far better job than we've been doing. And I think that's the inspiring aspect of the story about the greatest treasure hunt in history.
Give us the web address where people can learn more about the Monuments Men Foundation and the work that's still going on.
Well, they can follow me and the great amount of travel that I do and a lot of the discoveries on robertetzel.com. And they can certainly, if they want to know more about the work of the foundation, visit monumentsmenfoundation.org. And we've got lots of video clips, images, and just tracking the work that we're doing, a lot of the discoveries. And we're very, very excited to be able to share this story with this younger audience. And I hear from a lot of adults that are busy that they bought it for their kids and wanted to read it first and how much they enjoyed it. So it's a great opportunity to see the whole story there in one book. And we're really excited to get the story out.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you for your interest.
Robert M. Edsel's latest book is The Greatest Treasure Hunt in History, The Story of the Monuments Men. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.